because I could see scenarios in which churches are like, I don't want to release a press release. This makes us look bad. Mm-hmm. Like, well, not releasing one is making you look worse.
Hey, we need to talk.
Hi, thanks for watching. My name is Zach, and I'm here today with Jen, Jason, and Garrett. And today we're going to be talking about crisis management. So we live in a world full of crisis, both personal crisis, national crisis, even international crisis. And it is our responsibility as a church to have a plan of action when crisis hits our area. So what we're going to be talking about is, number one, like, how do we get churches to actually care and make a plan of the crises that might happen?
Oh, yeah.
Unfortunately, we have to have this. And we were just talking a second ago. I think you should think through to have a plan for any type of crisis there could be. The question is, in the moment of the crisis, do you execute that plan or do you just kind of like ad lib and tailor it a little bit? But for me, you know, you want to have, when there's a global crisis, what are you going to do? Well, you're probably going to send out a prayer thing. You might even have a night where you're going to have a worship night or something like that. Or if it's definitely in your community, if there's a school shooting or something like that, how do you respond? And obviously, if it's in your church, which we've seen lately some of those things happen, if you don't have a plan, you are going to struggle because you're going to put together a plan, but it's going to be in a matter of just hours and probably not fully thought through. So I think it's important, I think, if you have a plan of action to know what you're getting into. I think I love football. No football team shows up on game day going, hey, what offense should we run today? No, they spend a lot of time preparing for game day. Same thing with like crisis communication.
Yeah, I think of it like almost like an insurance policy, right? Like you would get insurance, even as a church, they would get insurance for their building, they would get health insurance for their staff. In some sense, especially like a building, you wouldn't want those things to happen, but you have a plan in case it does happen, you're ready to go with an insurance policy that covers the crisis that happens to your campus. So having a communication plan for when crisis happen is like, you'll be prepared when it happens and not wonder about what you should do.
Yeah, I agree. Anticipating every kind of crisis would be really hard. And I think it's easy to, in our week to week, like that we're working towards Sunday, right? Or maybe even we're planning the next 6 weeks out. So that doesn't hit the top of the list. It might be important, but it's never urgent until it is, right?
Yeah.
I've had a church that they didn't do anything wrong. They sent out door hangers for an invitation for a open house or for their 1 year anniversary. And it was, you know, just a celebration. And the door hanger went viral on TikTok because the guy had a no soliciting sign. He made some accusations against the church. So there was nothing, you know, other than an invitation, there was nothing they did wrong, but yet there they were in a crisis and needing to come up with a way to communicate. I think it's hard to like anticipate every single crisis, sure. Right? Sure. But there are definitely steps like that can be taken, like, you know, assembling, this is your crisis response team, you know, and these are the people that we go to when there's a crisis from it's our fault to global, to staff, to all of the different things. Mm-hmm. And there's just some other steps that you can put in place that would help you be able to build out that plan without having to say, okay, well, you know, alligators just ran into the church and we don't have a plan for this. But you can say, crisis response team, first they pray, then they discern. You know, there's steps that they take, you know, that follow some of that.
Yeah, I think you're right. It's, you can't plan for anything under the sun. But if you kind of look in the news, you're going, okay, what could happen? A shooting on our campus or in a school. A pastor falls into sin or something like that. Those things are bound to happen because we're people. So it's like having some plans. And I think to your point, it's not just, okay, here's our plan, guys, go execute. It's we have these pockets that we know we're gonna have a press release. Okay, that's communications. We know we're gonna have to maybe get the law enforcement. Okay, that's our, you know, HR operations. You know, you'd have the people that need to know and be able to just execute and run. You just don't want to walk into it and go, okay, what do we do, guys?
So there, a lot of times when we think about crisis communication and even crises, we put it on like a massive scale. But there was a church that we work with that the day before Easter, the apartments next to them caught on fire and like completely took the apartments to the ground. And they had to, had nothing really to do with their church, but was a crisis that they had to respond to. So my question for you guys is where, how do you determine like what is a crisis and what is worth really investing time into or in on a public level or like even on a like, do we only tell people in church? Like where are some of those parameters?
Well, I think you have to define it. Is this an internal or an external, right? And so once you know, oh, this is an internal thing, then you know what you could probably go and execute with. But I think just knowing and sort of defining that and having somewhat of a plan in place is pretty smart. You know?
I mean, to me, it's somewhere around like, do we need a press release and do we not? But then there's gray area in that because I don't know if that should be up to us because I could see scenarios in which churches are like, I don't want to release a press release. This makes us look bad. Mm. Like, well, not releasing one is making you look worse.
Yes.
So that's, and I even press release, probably people listening and watching, they're like, that's intimidating. Why would my church ever need to do that? I don't want to talk to the press. And it's like, you don't want to talk to the press, but you have to. Because information has got out, word has got out, something has happened at your church or someone in your church family, and the narrative is being told, and a press release is designed for you to tell your story, to tell much of the truth that you know. And so I think determining that, and maybe ahead of time, what kind of crisis do we want to release a press release for? And I think being very gracious and humble and honest about setting that standard pretty low. I think you err on the side of releasing one versus not releasing one. You know, like, should we? You probably should. I think, for example, the church that I serve at, you know, we had local wildfires. It was we had a voluntary evacuation in our community. So was the public wondering what our church was doing on Sunday? No. But our church people were wondering, hey, is midweek youth group still happening? Is Sunday morning still happening? And so we, I didn't say we scrambled, but we came up with a midweek email. We didn't call it a crisis email, but we sent an email on a day we don't normally send an email just to let everyone know what was going on. We were canceling youth programming, but we were planning a meeting on Sunday. That went out. And it didn't. The crisis team didn't meet. The lead pastor just made a decision and wrote an email, and we sent it out.
Because you're a comm director, do all the comm stuff, what would you, when you're going to want to get that message out, do you then look at the different channels of?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, actually, as you guys were talking, I was thinking like to build off the ideas a little bit. It would be good to have like a tiered, you know, we have tiered communication plans for different promotions and things like that. It would be good to have like a tiered approach for the different, you know, different crisis. So here's a crisis that is happening around us. It's not the fault of our church, you know, but it needs to be communicated this way. Here's, you know, a pastor fell into sin, you know, like just different levels. And then you would take that level of suggested, you know, communication channels and then still discern. To your point, sometimes I've seen churches, you know, we write the press release and we just hold it. Because if the media doesn't show up, it's not something we want to send out to the public. There's no reason to, you know, air that. It's not for lack of transparency. There's just no reason to share it outside of the family at that point. But it's there in case the media does show up. And, you know, or if it escalates in any way or other discoveries come out that make it bigger, you know, that sort of thing. So
I don't think we're into strategy here, but an example I had, I gave some consultation to a church that was approached to purchase another church because that particular church, the pastor fell in sin and they're collapsing. Mm-hmm. And so this church was approached by the organization that actually owns that building. The media heard about it. So the media is calling this church going, tell us about the scandal and why are you buying the church? And they're going, whoa. And my advice to them was, well, just be honest, be transparent, but make sure you communicate that to your congregation immediately. You don't want your congregation to hear it from the media about what your church or your pastors, they're going to be like a little frustrated. Like, what? Why are we hearing that secondhand?
Yeah. And a lot of churches, they don't pre-write press releases or really have any actual tangible solutions. They have like ideas and even like maybe protocol, but they don't write out some of those things. What is some of potential downfalls that the churches might experience when they don't write out press releases and then now they're required to have some sort of written form of communication?
Well, I'll speak on this, I'll hand it off to you. There's a church pretty recently that had a pretty big thing happen. And it seems like to me when I see this, and I don't know about you guys, but sometimes it's the chairman of the elder board mm-hmm. who needs to write a letter, right? They're going to write a letter to the congregation, and then you would take pieces of that to create your press release. And that way you have one voice. Mm-hmm. And that chairman of the elder is, you know, a very godly person, probably a business person who understands this and would speak well. That's where I would start with, is to say, okay, let's make sure that happens, because we are going to communicate from the elder board down, and we could take some of that advice to create a press release. But
yeah, we have identified in our crisis communication plan a church spokesperson, and it's the head elder. There's just the idea of having it not be someone employed by the church is beneficial. It's someone who volunteers their time to not just serve the church, but to be the primary leader of the church, I think is transparency. Right, exactly. Yeah.
So I would advocate that you maybe have a few people, though, only because...
We do have backups.
The elder could be the one who falls into sin, or maybe not fall into sin, but for some reason, they become emotionally involved in the circumstance, you know, whether their livelihood is impacted, there's a false accusation against them, something will happen, and then they're so emotionally driven they're not able to make the good choices. So just having maybe seven, you know, 4 to 7 people that are set up to do that would be a good idea. And I think you guys both are key when you say and to answer your question, like where the downfall comes in is we become so reactive, right? The media is there and you're going to send this press release out, but you haven't talked to your mm-hmm. people yet. Stop, yeah. You know, just pause, you know, and it's okay to tell the media, hey, I need 5 minutes. Draft that, send it out in an email to your people first, your staff first, your elder board first, then, you know, your church first, then turn and talk to the media, because they don't want to find it out on the news. Yeah. They want to find it out, you know, from you. They want to see, you know, this letter from your pastor or your elder board. Even if it's, hey, you're going to see something come out on the news later. We're still gathering our facts. We do need to give a press interview, but give us a minute. We're going to film a video for you all too, so that you're all informed about what's going on. Just let them know, like, we haven't forgotten about you. We're going to talk to you too.
Yeah. I think, and what you were talking about is like the reason we want to write things and have things prepared ahead of time is because of the emotional factor there. One of the books that I read in my master's, it was called Why Don't We Talk Better? And it was more about interpersonal connection, but it's the same here. It's like when we have an emotional experience, like you get in a fight with your spouse or somebody, they call like it's not the scientific term, but it's basically flat braining. Your brain flattens, so you do not have the capability to logically think through things because your emotional capacity is really the driving force rather than the logic. And so that is important because like not all of us, like when we talk about having 7, 8, 9, 10 people that don't even go to our church, that works for like large churches, but small churches too, like medium-sized churches, they may not have those resources. And how much more is there an emotional response because there is so much interpersonal connection? Something that I want to like segue into is we've talked about the press release, letting the news outlets, letting our people know. How fast do you think we should be jumping on communication?
Well, I would always lean on the leader. How fast? You know, it's really not up to us to say what we're... I mean, it's kind of obvious. It depends on how close to home it is. Yeah. But I think the leader has to speak into that because ultimately the lead pastor... And when I say that, I'm also including the elder board. They're the ones that have to answer. You know, even though I might be a spokesperson to the media, if it's... And this happened during my time. If it's a big, big deal, I'm having him talk to the lead pastor because his voice needs to speak into it because it's too close, right? And it could get out of control real quick.
Yeah, I think there's flexibility in there. I think there's definitely scenarios. And if you study PR, you can look at case studies where people waited too long to say something, yeah, and that communicates something as an organization. Like, you know, why did you wait so long? Are you trying to cover things up, or are you spending too long in the gathering of information, and people start forming their own ideas and narrative? And so I would say, you know, it's probably as fast as you can reasonably collect information. And you know, the idea of a crisis communication plan, it identifies members of a team. People call it different things, the crisis team. And one of the first steps is that team meets, you know, and that team maybe there's a press release that comes out of that team meeting. Maybe it's not. Maybe another team meeting is set, but that team meets quickly and they begin to figure out what happened, and they begin to work on a crisis communication plan that might have several steps to it.
I just think you have to be transparent. Yeah. Unfortunately, your small C church gets lumped into the big C church when a crisis happens. Here goes the church again. Oh, another pastor. I mean, unfortunately, it's just going to happen. And so now you're grouped into every church who's ever done something wrong. So to combat that, I think speed. As long as you're quick and transparent and you state the facts, then nobody can blame you. Like this church I'm talking about that just happened recently, you read the comments and everybody that's making comments are all like, thank you for being so quick, or this was one individual, this wasn't the church. I mean, it was just overwhelmingly supportive because they reacted well, they did the right steps, and they did it quick, mm-hmm, and they were transparent and open.
Yeah, and I think facts plays a huge role into it too, is because, you know, as churches, we are very heavily wanting to promote truth, truth of the gospel, but even factual truth. And that may even be an influence, is like, do we have enough facts to be able to tell them the proper narrative?
If I'm sitting in the seat as a comm director today, I'm bringing in it's either your HR or whoever oversees the office manager, if it's a smaller church, somebody, even if it's like the assistant to the pastor, because you're a small staff of like 10 people, I'm having some meetings to talk about what if, you know, and I probably would lean on, I need some help from like church communications group to figure out where do we start? Yeah. So get some help, because it's not a matter of, well, if something happens, it's a matter of when it happens.
Sadly, yeah.
Yeah, and it may be little or maybe big. It's going to happen. Yeah.
That's fine. I did that exact thing like 4 months ago. I met with our new director of business operations, who's head of HR, and I said, and it's probably from coming after one of the conferences here about how important crisis communication plan is. I'm like, we need to do a plan. Do you have any ideas? And he's like, oh, you know, whatever you want to think. So then I looked at a church comm group template that I came across and created a plan and just changed some things around and let him take a look at it, and he's like, this is great. You know, he had a couple suggestions. And then I said, you know, for my church, our scenario, I said, I wanted this to have board approval. I don't have any other documents in my department that get approved by the elder board, but like, you know, so I had draft written at the top of it, you know, like, you know, and I sent it to the elder board meeting, and it became one of the points of things that they looked at, and I got feedback, this is great. Now that draft thing says approved now, and it's literally just filed away.
And I would, if I were you, I would pull that out once a year. Mm-hmm. And make sure, is this still our right thing, you know, or something, you know, because you just don't want to get, unfortunately, you don't want to get to that day and you pull it out and go, oh man, this is so outdated. This was like 4 years ago, right? Right. That's not good.
Yeah.
So way to go, though, plan. Having a plan.
Right? Yeah, and you know what? It earned me lots of points with the elder board.
Yeah.
They were like, whoa, this is really cool. So if you're looking to earn some points with the elder board,
yeah,
just
and
you
know what?
You might be the one who has to spearhead this. You know, if you wait around until someone tells you to make a crisis communication plan, that may never happen. You need to take it on yourself to initiate it.
A lot of our churches are doing like active shooter drills or CPR training or a fire drill. Just lump it in there. You know, like let that be kind of a cue, like, oh, and by the way, guys, while we're with safety, church communications group suggested this, you know, draft it up, send it in. And, you know, like you said, you're going to get kudos from, you know, your elder board for being prepared. Yeah. So
Yeah. One final question I have, and I'll ask it for all three of you. So let's say it's too late. Maybe they don't have a plan. What is your number one advice for a communication director who finds themselves in the midst of a crisis that they have to navigate? What would be a big piece of advice for them?
You know, it's kind of interesting. In some of these scenarios, the comm director maybe wouldn't necessarily be cued in to a lot of these things that are happening around the church with this crisis, but I think you're going to have to insert and assert yourself in some of these scenarios and be like, I need to know what's happening because I need to prepare some communication. So if something's happening, there's no plan, you're hearing rumblings about a crisis that happened at the church, I would think you need to begin to go to leadership and be like, I need to know what all the details, but I need to be in the loop because I need to prepare some communication or help prepare some communication or help prepare a plan so that we can communicate what's happening to our church into our community. And I think, you know, there's different hierarchy things, like I said, and so that might be unusual, but, you know, you're going to have to, if there isn't a plan, it means that there's a good chance the church wasn't thinking that this could ever happen and isn't prepared to communicate in hindsight now. And so you're going to have to be the person that's going to be driving, like, communication is going to be key now. And so I need to meet with so-and-so, I need to meet with the lead pastor so that we can come up with an idea of sending an email or whatever it might be.
My advice would be go to CC+.
Yeah.
Make sure you get your membership at CC+, because in CC+, there's going to be, I've seen it, it's in there. There's some templates and some things like that that you can at least start with. And I would do this, Garrett. If something was happening, of course, you may or may not be at that table, but I'm definitely offering advice. How can I help? I'm the comm director. How can I help? And they might say, well, we're not sure. Well, just let you know, I have some documentation on this because I thought this might happen. So this is where you pull up CC+ and say, here's what we should do. You know, and there could be an outline of step one, step two, step three. Just to say to the lead pastor or the leadership, I'm here to serve, I'm here to help, I'm here to do my job. You tell me how I can serve you best. Because we're not the ones calling the shots. But we need to be supportive. We should be prepared and equipped.
Yeah. Yeah, to Garrett's point, I've heard it said before, well, we can't tell you because it's an HR issue or this is pastoral confidence. And I'm like, I'm going to need to know. You know, like we're going to have to sit at the table together. I'm going to have to hear the same things that HR and the pastors do in this circumstance. Nothing gets released without, you know, a head pastor or, you know, a head elder board approval. So it's not, nothing's going to go out without you guys looking at it. But yeah, we have to be there. We have to hear what's going on. And so if you get any pushback like that, just, hey, I need to be able to come alongside of you and be able to be prepared to react in the way that I need to. Trust me, I don't want to open a can of worms and I'm not going to release anything that's just going to make things bigger, but I'm going to need to know truths because, you know, things can happen kind of quick, you know, that need to be responded to. So it's an interesting question that you asked earlier about the pace because, you know, it's like kind of an intuition thing, right? I do think the faster the better as long as you don't feel like you're reacting. So then my best advice would be stop and pray and then do try to get the communication out as quickly as possible and just stick to the facts that you know, like just the facts, like that's it. No, don't infer anything. Don't go off of any of your past experiences. Mm-hmm. Don't say, well, when I've seen this before this, don't over church language it. No church ease, just the facts. This happened. Here's what we're doing about it. Here's the web page you can continue to go to for updates. And then that's it. Like, do not fluff it up any.
Yeah. How close? I think the closer it is to home, the quicker it is.
Yeah.
That's a good point, yeah.
That is a good point. Yeah, so crisis in our churches are inevitable. Like it's gonna happen to us in any varying degree. And so the big takeaway is we need to be prepared. We need to be ready for it to happen, both from an internal standpoint, but then also be ready to communicate outwardly.